The Lord is moving. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." Psalm 1:3 says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." As believers, we have the opportunity to experience a fruitful life. Welcome to Fruitful Lifestyles with Chris and Carol Green. Fruitful Life is a ministry that's been touching the lives of people in the Harrisburg community since March of 2005. For the next few minutes, we're going to bring you into our Fruitful Life meetings. Fruitful Life is a ministry of personal, relational, and spiritual healing. Now, let's take you into special moments with Chris and Carol Green with the Fruitful Life family.
Psalm 1, which is the theme scripture of this ministry, says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers." We always have been putting emphasis on verse 3, but I want to show you those first two verses today as we talk about the lack of wisdom and negligence and how it affects us, and the different kind of wisdom that you can walk in that is not of God, that leads to the enemy taking advantage. "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates," or mutters, or chews over and over again, day and night. He, that person who delights in the law of the Lord, but that same person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, the same person who does not stand in the way of sinners, the same person who does not sit in the seat of the mockers, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. And this incredible promise that sounds so far-fetched, it just sounds like this just cannot be. There's no way. No, we read this scripture, we quote this scripture, but there's just no way this could actually practically be possible. Whatever he does prospers. I want to show you how that happens. "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked." Here's what that actually means. Word "walked" means behave, come, continually, be conversant. I won't go through all these definitions. Be eased, enter, exercise, follow forth in the way of the wicked, go forward in the way of the wicked, get in the way of the wicked. Isn't that amazing when you see what it actually means? Crow, be led, march, be at the point in the way of the wicked, run along with the wicked, travel with the way of the wicked. And I like the last one, wander in the counsel of the wicked. Woo. Now the word counsel means advice, or advisement, or the purpose of the wicked. Wow, isn't that something? And the wicked are the morally wrong, concretely, you know, just basically means bad person, or condemned person, or a guilty person, an ungodly person, wicked. Again, it repeats, that which did wrong. So now when you put that all together, here's the definition. Blessed the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked means blessed is the man who does not continuously live and behave according to the advice and purpose of those who are morally wrong, actively involved in bad behavior. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? Now I know what that means. Following their advice, because their advice is coming from a certain wisdom, and they are living according to how they feel. They're living according to their life's experience, and some are living according to just straight up demonic thoughts. Isn't it something? So blessed is the man who does not walk, run along with, take the advice, or even live in the purpose of folks that are operating their lives in that kind of wisdom. Man, oh man, changes everything, doesn't it? And in the way of sinners, this is how it actually translates in the Hebrew. And in the way of sinners has not stood. When you read it, it says, and does not stand in the way of sinners. But it's actually translated, and in the way of sinners, it has not stood. I turned that around, didn't I? In the way of, or here's looking, look at what the, how that defines, a return of property or captivity. Wait till you see how this one fits together. Sinners, an offense, punished, and sometimes habitual sinfulness, or in its penalty, the punishment of sin. Stood means to stand in various relations. It means to abide. Behind means confirmed, continue to dwell, be employed, endure, establish, ordain. To be, over, to place, be present. I love all these definitions. Raise up, remain, repair, stand. I know you say, get to the full definition. Here we go. Do not live by the approval of. See, because back there you were talking about stand means to be ordained, to establish. So in other words, don't live looking for them to establish me, to ordain me, to get their approval. This is amazing. Do not live by the approval of. Be established, built, or repaired by those who are held captive to and under the penalty and punishment of sin. Let me read that again. Do not live by the approval of those who are held captive and under the penalty and punishment of sin. Don't be established by those who are held captive to and under the penalty and punishment of sin. Don't be built by those who are held captive to and under the penalty and punishment of sin. Don't be repaired by. Remember, we've been talking about God healing our broken places. Imagine going to somebody that's just as broke up and messed up as you are. Because we do it all the, you see it all the time. Somebody who is going through a bad breakup in a relationship. And where did he, what, just look at your life's experience. Where do they go to? They go to other people whose relationship is just as broke up and messed up as theirs, and they get advice from each other. Well, dude, if a girl was doing me like that, I would, well, because when I broke up with my girl, this is how I handled it. So I'm going to go get advice and approval and be established and repaired by somebody who just as messed up, made the same mistakes that I did. Now, I'm going to take this brother's advice. Don't let no woman run over you, dog. No, I'll be letting her see this. And so what happened when your woman was talking to you? Oh, well, see, I just left. Because, yeah, I just left. So I'm telling you how to handle it, see? But because you want this, your dog's, your approval, you let them repair you. You want their ordination. See, that's one of the definitions. You want their ordination, just like we have hands laid upon us and we are ordained and approved and sent out to do this. Now you want their ordination. You want their approval for how you gonna handle your woman. You handle your woman the same way I handle my woman. So, because you want to stay in cool with your dog, so you're going to let them give you their wisdom on how to handle it. See how you don't end up like a tree planted by rivers of water? See why you don't end up with everything prospering? Because the wisdom is coming from somebody that's just as broke and tore down, messed up, listening to demonic thoughts. He goes and watches the videos day after day, 24/7. He's watching women gyrate all on the screen, 24/7. He's watching bling and chains and big riders and cars and poolside parties. And so now he gonna advise you on real life. Because he's feeding his spirit demonic, earthly, sensual wisdom. And now he's trying to live out that wisdom in his life. And now he's going to now repair you. So now we're going to take advice and counsel from and be ordained by someone who has that wisdom. Because they're trying to live the fantasy. Wow. I didn't know it was going to be that heavy. But therefore, Here's Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto where? Jesus. Because he is what? The author and the finisher of our faith. Because here's how you really deal with life situations. Not with those earthly, sensual, demonic wisdom, but who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. That is a principle for us even as believers. Endure this, despising the shame. No, they ain't going to understand. No, I'm not going to get my dog's approval. No, they are going to tell me I'm crazy, I'm stupid, and cuss me out. I can't use those words of what they're going to call you for living this way. But guess what? I'm looking unto Jesus. He started my life. He's going to finish my life. He's like the author of a book. He started the story. He's going to finish the story. Isn't that awesome? Wow. Thank you, Lord God. And I'm going to do just like he did. He said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So this is my cross. This is what I'm enduring for now. But I'm looking ahead. That's a principle for us as believers. That's how we live our lives, planted. I'm not going to run around here, do it the way this dude said. Do it the way this dude said. Run around, get all these different answers. What's your opinion? How you think I should handle it? How you thinking? Planted. Wow. Thank you, Lord. And then the last one. And then the seed of scorners, so it has not sat. I don't know how I got that turned around each time. The seat is figuratively a site. It abstractly, it means a session. By extension, it's an abode, the place or the time. By implication, it means population. You're going to be amazed with this, how this works out in its definition. In the King James Version, assembly, it means to dwell in, a dwelling place. Dwelt in. It's an inhabited place. It's a seat again. It's sitting. It's a situation. Scorn means, it comes from a primitive root. It means to deride or to belittle or to devalue something or somebody. So a scornful person, scornful or scorner is one who derides, who belittles others in situations, who devalues people, places, things, experiences. They devalue things. So, it says, so when you say in the seat of scorners, I not sit, blessed is the one who does not sit in the seat of scorners, it means do not live and dwell in the popular opinion and the practice of scorners, of belittling, of devaluing and tearing down others, particularly those who are in positions of authority. Because what is so popular to do is to join in with all of the popular. That's the climate in America, is to pull down leadership, talk about them, deride them, devalue them, belittle them. And here, what we're showing you is the enemy takes advantage. It's like opening a door in your and my own life. When we do that, when we join in with the population, when we join in with what's popular and start devaluing governmental officials, local and civic leaders, pastors and priests, and let's take it even further, fathers and mothers, because they're leaders in the home. Woo! That's why the Lord said, honor your father and your mother. They may not be right, but don't join in with the what's really popular to do. You get around friends and co-workers and everything. One person starts talking about their dad or their pastor or their boss. And he's like, oh, thank you very much. You're putting down leadership. You're putting down authority. And so, since you're slowly coming out from underneath authority, so that's the only thing he respects is authority. And so, since you're taking your little umbrella off, man, I'm coming in. Isn't that amazing? So he takes advantage of it. I have to watch it myself, because especially being in this position, that's part of the reason why we've been trying to be very careful not to talk about what's going on with the whites and with the Weeks and Bynum and Oral Roberts University, because it's like, don't join in with the population of belittling it. I'm not talking about just making, sometimes you can, well, no, we don't. All of us in the room, we just made comment. This is what I see. This is the shame. Lord, we're praying for them, but we're not going to join in with that belittling and with that devaluing. It becomes very easy when leaders mess up like what we've seen to start devaluing. What do we mean by that? Devaluing the role of pastors and leaders and evangelists and prophets. The phrase that you usually hear people saying is, ain't none of them no good. All of them. See, now you're devaluing the whole office. Now ain't no good preachers, ain't no good pastors, leaders, evangelists, prophets, teachers, apostles, nowhere, because we heard about one. The example I love using is like sports and entertainment. Remember a couple of years back when there was a riot, when some basketball players went up into the stands and beat up some people because a guy had thrown a cup of soda or water or something on one of the players. So he jumped up and ran up in the stands and ended up with a big fight. Now, the next night, nobody said all basketball players are crazy. All of them are evil and warped and got problems. All of them. So I will never, ever again go to another basketball game because they all messed up. But that one preacher. I'll take it to something even more serious. You'll hear about a doctor that messed up a surgery and somebody died. But nobody says, they are all quacks. I will never ever again go to another doctor because this one. But yet, let one pastor misdiagnose a situation with one member in a church, and suddenly the whole ministry, from the pastor to his wife, all the elders, deacons, and all the other members who don't even know what happened, they're all evil, and it's a cult that we need to burn this place down. That's what I'm talking about. That's where the scornful go. And they don't know that when you move into that attitude of scorn, of belittling and devaluing, then they're constantly asking, how come stuff always going wrong in my life? How come? And think about it. Just think about it now. People that you work with, family members, think about the ones who always seem to be going through something all the time. Listen to how they talk. I guarantee you, you will hear this as one of the open doors in their life. They're constantly putting down family members. Most of the time it's dad, mom. They're constantly putting down bosses, leaders, churches, government. They're very deriding, belittling. Yeah. And so they don't know. And then they're always asking, why is stuff always going wrong in my life? How come nothing don't ever go right? Nothing don't ever go right for me. Well, door is wide open. That's where the scornful, they open up their door. They've given the enemy legal entry. Because of that devaluing, belittling, deriding attitude, particularly against positions of authority. So, now let's look at that scripture. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Remember from times past, we talk about the law of the Lord, not just talking about the rigid words written on a page, but a law that came, words that were spoken out of God, because he looked into my life and like a doctor, he wrote out a prescription. Isn't that good? Wow. And he said, now if you just do what I write down, take this 2 times a day and take this medicine. If you just do what I'm telling you to do, you're going to be healed. You're going to come out of it. It won't be instant, but just do the little things I'm telling you to do. Eat right, exercise, take this medication. See, it's law. He's written it out. And he's telling you, if you do this, it's going to happen. Just as sure as that sun comes up in in the east and settles in the west. Wow. Because I set that in motion. It's my word. It's like law. It happens every day. Everybody knows there's 365 days in a year, 366 in a leap year. Everybody knows there are 24 hours in a day. It never changes. So when I write something over your life and I hand it to you as a prescription, then you know it's going to be. Because nothing that I've spoken has never failed to be. Isn't that good? Thank you, Lord God. So he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law, what you've spoken to me, he meditates. God, you keep speaking these words and bringing this revelation and these understanding. This is one of those words like that, even what I'm talking about tonight, today. This is going to be ones I got to go back and listen to the tape myself and meditate on this one. Boy, we're going to do some serious cud chewing this week. You know what you talk about, meditate means chew on it. Like, I won't give you a visual. I won't give you another visual. But I can sense that even for myself as I meditate on this day and night, what you're really saying to me, Lord, I live in this way. You gave us this as a foundational scripture for this church. And we know this goes against the grain of the atmosphere in this region. Because most people love living according to the counsel and the wisdom. They can get advice from friends and living according to their feelings and my life's experience. And we love belittling and talking about everybody from the governor all the way down to my mama. And Lord, I live for the ordination and the approval of my peers. But here he is saying, but Lord, okay. Delight myself. Delight in your law and your word. Meditate in it day and night. Chew on it again. Let it become a part of the nourishment in my body. Because there's a promise. You said, I'm going to be like a tree planted by rivers of water, constantly nourished. I'll never be dry. My roots will be in a healthy place. I'm going to be able to yield fruit at the right time. In the right season. People are not going to be disappointed because I'll have the appearance of being fruitful. Remember when Jesus came to that fig tree and it was the season for figs, but this tree didn't have nothing but leaves. It was not fruitful in season. And Jesus cursed it. They came back the next day and the thing was dried up. Why would Jesus do something like that such a graphic way, because this is what he saw this season and time in the future, and he wanted to give a lesson for his people. Don't ever be phony. Don't ever give the appearance that you got something that you really ain't got. Don't be all green leaves. You can come talk to me. You can come talk to me. And then when they get there, there's nothing. I think we were talking about that. I want to put down no particular ministry, but God doesn't, I believe the Lord doesn't want ministries that are just all fluff and it's all cream and surface. And then when people get there and they're looking for fruit means meat. See, the substance and fruit is called meat. It's where the nourishment is really going to be. Well, you get to the ministry or you get to that person and they've got all the appearance, but there ain't no fruit there. I could even see if it was just, I could see Jesus even being kind of patient if it was just unripened fruit. You get there and there's some fruit, but it just ain't ripe yet. But there was nothing. And it had all the appearance. God can't stand that. That's what you see in that. God can't stand that. Don't even give the appearance. Don't give the appearance that it's something that it's not. Thank you, Lord. And he said, and whose leaf does not wither. Was actually, I love that word because you're talking about evergreen, like the plant, evergreen. It's constantly nourished. And whatever he does prospers. Remember the definition of prosperity that I gave you, that even a business is considered prosperous, not because it always has gains, but because the gains outweigh the losses. So that even when there's a loss, part of the reason why that happens with businesses that do have losses, then great gains, then a little bit of loss and a great gain, is because when they lose, they learn. They do all kinds of studies and everything to find out why did our sales go down, or why we weren't as prosperous this month as we were last month. And they make adjustments. So even in the loss, they're learning a lesson that causes them to have greater gain on the next go around. So that's what I believe God is doing, even with us. That's what he's saying to us, that even when there is a setback, when there's a disappointment, when there is a discouragement, still in the midst of it, we're going to learn. We're going to receive what we're talking about right now, wisdom. Wisdom comes even when there's setback, when there's disappointment, when there's discouragement, when things don't go as we plan, when time and chance happens, like we've been talking about, there's wisdom. I can still find what God wants me to do, even in this. Then you can see the truth of this scripture. Whatever he does, he prospers. Prospering in a setback? Yeah. Prospering in a disappointment? Yes. Prospering in a destruction and discouragement? Yes. Prospering in desertion, in divorce? Yes. Wisdom, not earthly, not sensual, not demonic, that takes me right out of this. Temporary, I see like the lines on a graph chart. So you go through the setback and it drops for just a little. Oh, but the start seeing that incline and it's going up, and next thing you know, you don't even feel the sting of the loss, because the gain calls you to overall be prosperous. Can you receive that right now? Thank you, Lord God. Lord, we receive your word. We receive this, Lord God, that this impartation of wisdom, we close these doors as you have pointed them out, Lord God. The places where we're negligent in the areas and in the positions where there was negligence, Lord, where there was a lack of knowledge, the ignorance. You said that my people to destroy for lack of knowledge. We close that door. Even that's part of the reason why we even come each and every week, Lord God, to keep receiving from you, because we're closing the door where the enemy can't beat us and slip in because of what we didn't know. We close that door. Come on, do that right now in your own heart. Lord, I close the door on the lack of knowledge. Close the door of ignorance in my life. I close that door from where the enemy has been able to slip in because of the lack of wisdom, where there's been negligence. Thank you, Lord God. I close the door. Even as you've shown us in this scripture, Lord God, we close the door where we walked in the advice of the wicked. Lord, in the places where we stood in the position and wanted to receive the ordination of the sinner, of the ones who were missing you anyway, Lord, we closed the door where we opened, where sometimes we participated in the scorning, in the mocking. We closed that door. Forgive us, Lord God, where we participated. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse our hearts. But we close this door right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And we declare, I speak forth over your people, Lord, planted by streams of water. I speak it forth over your people, Lord God, yielding fruit in season. I speak it forth over your people, Lord God, that there be evergreen, ever nourished leaves that do not wither. I speak it forth over your people, Lord God. Whatever they do, they prosper. Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for surrounding us with many advisors. In Proverbs 15:22, it says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. So, Lord God, when some of our places in our life where plans have failed and things didn't work out right, Lord, I thank you now for setting us up with many advisors to help us to succeed. In the name of Jesus, we receive this in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Come on, just thank the Lord for his word today.